The character planted in the audience that you'd never expect to be on the payroll. And when she plays her big scene, she creates more heat than you could ever imagine. Now here's the secret. She's a stunt granny.
Microphone down.
Okay.
That better?
Yeah, that's okay. Much better.
Yeah. Small things.
I was just like, why is this? It just doesn't quite sound right.
Is there no hockey game tonight?
No. I just flipped to NBC Sports and they had fights on.
So stupid.
So, yeah, no, I don't quite understand what, why they're taking tonight off.
Yeah.
I mean.
How far is New York to Montreal? Wait a minute, that was yesterday, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was okay. Yesterday. No, it should be game two of...
Yeah.
But I'm glad, in a way, because I want to do four different pictures with CM Punk, and I need to photo grid it on my phone, so...
Yeah, I know all the neighbors were out, so I was like, all right, cool. So the opportunity to get to talk to them for a while, so that was nice.
Cool.
So, yeah, they got a... Mike and Ashley downstairs got a Australian sheepdog puppy.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Oh, he's adorable. But...
Yeah, those things are really... I mean, they make Cayenne look tame.
Well, he's coming out of his shell, and he kept going after Mariah. And Mariah's playing along. And well, he went after Mariah too hard, so they started chasing each other. Well, him being smaller, you know, he can turn on a dime. He turned and... Bang! They just met heads.
Oh.
And he, you could hear it. I mean, it was you heard that sound when they hit, and Mariah was just like, come on, let's go. And he's just, I mean, he was literally like walking like this. And he'd stop, and you could see him like going like with his head, like, oh my God. So he went and hid under the bushes for like a couple minutes. And then he was raring to go, though, once he shook it off. So, but yeah. I always like those little impromptu things. So, I need to stop being so secluded and go out of my way to talk, I guess. I'm finally watching Raw, and for what I missed last night, at least.
Oh, okay.
The Bray Wyatt stuff was fantastic.
I was just, Because what, I got rid of the Boondocks, I got rid of Guy's Big Bite, and I just started an Amy Schumer.
Yeah.
I am behind.
Yeah, I've got two episodes of Louie. That's all I've got on the DVR now.
Yeah, you know, I forgot to set that up until this week.
Dude, go out of your way. I think, it was last night, find the Fat Girl episode.
Well, I don't know which one, because it was really weird. They had one out of all, they showed it for, like, four straight hours.
Mm-hmm.
They only had one repeat episode on, like, in that four-hour block. I was just like, you've got to be fucking kidding. I thought that they'd have both of them from last week on.
Yeah.
But I think it's just one.
Now, well...
Oh, yeah, so did the fat lady.
That's it. I think that's the one.
Because...
That was... I know Jimmy was talking about it on O&A, or no, Opie was talking about the writing. It wasn't so much... Well, the writing, yes, but the way he shot it, it was just... It was a constant, I think, 10-minute scene with no cuts in it. It's just the camera moving around him, going all different directions, and her just talking and talking and talking and talking. It was great.
Gotcha.
I mean, it was really well written, too. And she actually says the word fuck. They don't bleep it out.
Oh.
Because it's basically just talking about, like, you know, his thing about not dating a fat girl. He's like, I've dated plenty of girls that were bigger than me. She goes, no, Louie, I'm not talking about you giving a pity fuck to some fat girl. And then it occurred to me, I was like, wait a minute, she just said fuck. Because earlier in the episode, he loses his daughter and he yells fuck really loud and they bleep it out.
Oh, gotcha.
So, but yeah, and I'm so happy they did, because it would have killed the scene if they would have bleeped it. So, but yeah, it's definitely worth catching. So, because I think that season's been kind of uneven so far, but
oh, okay.
It finally got really good, because there's that, you know, once they finally get to an actual story running through everything, it gets good. So,
Okay. I guess I just didn't feel like there was much of a story running through.
Well,
like from episode to episode ever. With
well,
that
you know
show.
How he'll do those like 2 or 3 episode arcs.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
when I think that show gets better.
Okay.
So, and I don't know. Did you watch Legit this season?
I have 3 left.
Dude, I actually thought that show was way better this season than it was last, and I can't believe it gets canceled. I'm not going to give away the end or anything, but just knowing it's canceled, that's the most depressing final season of a show.
What are you doing, Cayenne? Well, he laid down, but then he jumped up over the armrest for whatever reason to get to the water.
No, you know why? Because he can.
It's just unusual. I don't know. Like, for as much as I've liked him on Opie and Anthony, I don't know why, but to me, the show hasn't been that funny.
Well, I think the problem with the first season was he tried to work in a lot of his bits as part of the show. And it seemed kind of forced. So even if you hadn't seen the bits, though, it wouldn't matter. But it seemed, I don't know, like long form it didn't work. But this season it was all written out, and it's just, I don't know, everyone's lives just kind of going spiraling out of control and stuff. It's been pretty crazy to watch. So,
yeah, and it still sucks. I don't get FXX on HD.
Oh, yuck.
So that's the other reason why I just kind of have a negative vibe when I'm watching any of those shows now, because I'm watching some shit filming.
Mm-hmm. And especially with Legit, it's filmed kind of weird anyways.
I don't think it hurts it as much as it probably would hurt some other stuff. Yeah.
Well, I don't understand FX.
Because I always thought Whatchamahicket, Always Sunny.
Yeah.
Like, they kind of had a grungy look to, like, the set and everything, but I always thought the shot itself was very clean. And, like, I guess I just didn't... Oh, maybe that's what I'm missing, is maybe that sharpness would be there if I had HD.
I guess...
I don't know.
Yeah, I just don't understand FX's strategy. Because they put It's Always Sunny on FXX, they put Legit on FXX, but now everything, Archer, Louis, what's the dog one? Wilfred?
Well, no, they are moving Wilfred to FXX.
Okay, so they are going to put it over there.
All right. Yeah, no, I saw that. I'm completely cool with that. I thought it was going to go out after the first season. It seemed like a good spot to stop, but I've enjoyed it, but I'm fine with it knocking off after this year.
Well, yeah, and I guess that was how it was written, which is fine. But I guess the point I'm getting at, though, is they put these shows on a network where you don't even have it in HD. Some people don't know it exists.
Yeah.
So I don't understand the strategy. Like, if it was that big of a deal, why is Louis not on FXX? People want to get eyes on that. Why isn't Archer on FXX?
Your two biggest comedies should be leading the way on your comedy station.
Right. Yeah, I mean,
not on your regular station you know you're going to get more viewers on.
Exactly. Yeah, it doesn't seem to be giving the other shows a fair shake, even though they gave It's Always Sunny a renewal for 3 more seasons.
Well,
you know.
They might have gotten through just because they've been around for so long, honestly.
Yeah. And it doesn't help that some of the people on the show have branched out on the other stuff that has become popular, too.
Like, oh, yeah, I loved, what's his name? Because I still have not really watched all, because I didn't watch this past season on FXX.
It was kind of up and down.
I guess I haven't seen that consistency that made everyone rave about it. Because I didn't watch, like, right at the beginning of the run, and then I watched, like, the last two or three seasons, and it's kind of been, you know, some episodes I'm rolling on the floor, other episodes I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, the one I couldn't believe you didn't find funny was when Frank was boiling the blue jeans in his apartment with a giant paddle. That shit killed me.
Yeah, like, that was the first episode that I really watched, too. So, I don't know. Maybe if I go back and watch it, I wouldn't be quite as
so
put
weird.
Off by it.
But, I don't know. It sucks legit got canceled. And once you see the end, you'll see why. So,
yeah.
But, yeah. But,
cool.
You know,
and that's the other thing is that with that, I've held off on watching it in some ways because it is an HD, I know it takes up less space on my DVR.
Good call. Yeah. Yeah. I guess, you know, we should welcome people to the show. I know we were kind of talking, but, you know, it kind of works. So, hi, everybody. It's Stumper in the audio number something or other.
We're in the 250s still.
Yeah,
I don't remember.
It's something. Whatever. You'll know when it's posted and it pops up on your subscription, hopefully. So I am Jeremy. That is Kevin. You're listening to the show already. And hopefully you...
Yeah, no. And that was the other thing. I wasn't sure if we were going to actually use that or not.
I wasn't planning on it, but it actually went somewhere for a change. So I figure, hey, why not? What else have we got to talk about?
Well, I mean, if we're going to stick with stuff that is not wrestling and back end it with the wrestling, we could always just go. And now I didn't get a chance to listen to you and Shahid talk about Godzilla.
Okay.
But I think I brought up about my main points. Like, I was really surprised at how good of a story it was.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit could have been cut out.
Yeah.
And I wanted more monsters.
Yeah, I think they should have sacrificed the wife for more monster fights. I was okay with everything the way it played out, but I think the second monster fight could have been like if they would have built this up a little bit, have the first one be exactly the way it was, but the second one be a little bit longer. So that once the action really gets into it, and you're like, yes, here we go, and then you cut it, and that would really drive you crazy. But, yeah. I don't know. I saw most of everything I wanted to, except for the Godzilla. I love the way Godzilla handles business. It comes in, beats everybody up, takes a nap, and takes off. What I said, just like a one-night stand. Handle your business, take a nap, and get out. And get the fuck out of Dodge. So,
well, and I said it to you, too. Like, I would hope that I was surprised when you said it wasn't going to have a sequel initially. But it was almost one large introduction to Godzilla. And it's just like, okay, if you guys do a second one, there better be a whole lot more action.
Yeah, well, yeah. And
it's kind of like the one thing that it reminded me of, unfortunately, was, although it doesn't really, but just the situation. I remember going, okay, I'm going to think the Matrix 3, or if the Matrix 3 really pulls it off, I'll be okay with the second movie. And that third movie was just a disaster. So, you know... But just kind of the general, I guess, feeling of uneasiness. Like, the first one kind of, to me, is going to have some weight in the second one, too, on how I look back on it.
Yeah, and we brought that up, but then also brought up the idea of sequels, spoilers. You know, when the kid blows up all the eggs, clearly one of the eggs can survive and become something. Or when they ship the bomb, which was actually kind of annoying, the bomb.
Yeah,
on a speed barge, apparently. It could blow something up and awaken something, or turn into a giant turtle, or wake up Gadzooki, or something like that. And, you know, just something. So
yeah, no, I figure some type of, you know, disaster will awaken another creature in the next one, and we'll be off and running.
And this is something I didn't bring up with Shahid, and this kind of goes for any superhero movie. Or any of these movies like that. Who the hell wants to live on these planets? You know? You got giant... I mean, it's bad enough when you've got sharks in the ocean, okay? Now you've got giant I mean, literally a giant monster that just handles business, leaves. Or, like, Superman. The end of Man of Steel. Holy shit. What a terrible Earth that would be.
Yeah. No, I always think that to myself in any of these movies. It's just like, could you imagine how much people would be shitting a duck? Like, no one would have wanted to live in New York City after the Avengers attack. They'd be like, no, we're out. No, that this really just isn't worth it. Well, like,
didn't in Iron Man, wasn't the, no, Iron Man 2, that was New York as well, wasn't it?
I think so, yeah.
So you've got that, and then, you know, a year later, you got the Avengers stuff. And it's like, I'm with you on that one. There's no reason. But I did bring up the fact that I did enjoy that they didn't blow up New York in Godzilla. It was San Francisco instead.
Oh, you know, yeah, they stayed along the Pacific Rim.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, we did get into that and whatever.
Yeah,
but
no need to. But oh man, yeah, no, they stayed out in Tokyo and Asia, and that was kind of funny. The Hawaii pit stop.
Yes, yeah, it was just enough to give you, you know, you got the Polynesian look out there, so it was just enough to give you like Japanese people. You know, the old movies, Japanese people running from Godzilla. So, yeah. It's definitely another one to wait for a sequel. I get the feeling that's going to be like the Dark Knight stuff, where the second one's going to be way better than the first. So,
gotcha.
And not to cut this short, but I don't know if you can see me reacting, but let's talk about Raw, if you don't mind. More specifically, sure. Luke Harper... That dude's amazing. I'm sorry. I know we've been singing his praises for a good year or two now. I'm watching the Luke Harper John Cena match. He just pulled off a Hurricanrana, excuse me, on John Cena. He's bumping his ass off. Enough. You know, I'm getting bent out of shape reading about, well, Luke Harper, you know, was in another good match. Another surprising performance. When does it stop becoming a surprise?
And it's just people are still calling it surprising?
I think it was .net. Like, another solid performance. No, enough. The guy's got game.
Yeah, no, I thought he was going to be good. I cannot say I saw this part. Like, the agility that he's shown off in the WWE is not anything that I saw previous to this. Like, I mean, I knew he could do the big boot and everything, and that he was pretty fast in the ring. But, the suicide dives, the Hurricanrana. There are a couple other things that...
he's got a nasty-looking Yakuza kick he just pulled off on CM.
I'm trying to think of, because there was a sequence there, maybe I'll look at my Almost Live, definitely half-assed review of Raw here. There was a combo there where he missed the kick in the corner, the Yakuza kick in the corner, and tumbled over the ropes, and then bounced himself back inside the ring. Runs against the ropes and then goes for a clothesline, and Cena ducked it and turned it into something. But I mean, I just couldn't believe, like, I mean, there are smaller guys that aren't doing that quick.
Mm-mm.
Like, I was like, oh my gosh. Because, I mean, he didn't really hurt himself that much. I mean, I think that sometimes gets overplayed. But he kind of rolled out of the ring when he missed the kick with it. So it was just like, oh my gosh. Like, it was just, well, I guess it can go back to the Steve Austin thing we were talking about. I always like the small things. And, I mean, that's just something that, it doesn't score points, but to me, that's what really drives it home.
Well, see, all right, you kind of contradicted yourself, though. Like, it doesn't score points, but it does, because when someone doesn't do something, you know, you figure it out right away.
Well, you know? What I mean, am I trying to say?
In a good way. It was a compliment either way.
But... no, I guess I'm just trying to define it better than which. Though he could do a big man match,
yeah,
but he's pulling out little man stuff,
yeah, and that's quite possibly one of the better bumps I've seen in a while. A funnier bump. One of the Usos just kicked Eric Rowan in the face, and his sheep mask went flying. That was really fun to watch. Well, yeah, no, I consistently am impressed with Luke Harper, and I know he's not getting wins, but this has to go a long way.
I know this
is like old hat. We're treading over again, but whatever.
Well, I mean, just and what match are you watching?
It's the main event with Cena and Luke Harper.
Well, you just said it there. That's what I was looking for. The main event.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? This isn't the first time he's been in that spot, really. Yeah. Like, I mean, I know that he's not getting wins, and although that was another thing I said in the blog. Like, if they get a shot against the Usos, that'd be a lot of fun. And I'd be all for it. And if Harper and Rowan win the belts, so be it, too.
Yeah.
As much as I like the Usos, they'll be just fine without the straps, so long as the WWE continues to have some semblance of a tag team division. Yeah.
And I don't mind, you know, shifting away from Luke Harper and going with the Usos for a bit too. I'm not going to say it's a missed opportunity because they're not old, but it just. I would like to hear them talk, and not in that goofy backstage thing they did with Cena, doing the. I don't know what that was about.
Oh, what did Shahid say? That was from Wolf of Wall Street.
Oh, it was? I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, no, I was like, well, I didn't see it, and I was like, it also didn't make it any less stupid.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I mean, unless it was a perfect, like, unless they were goofing on it, okay. But if you don't know the source material, then it comes off as really bad. But no, I don't know. The Usos against Harper and Rowan would be fine. Rowan's still really stiff, and I think it would.
Oh,
I think they could play off of a large, you know, green guy still. I think that might help actually.
I didn't put them down.
What's that?
I'll need to look that up right now-ish. You know, I was kind of interested, and Shahid and I had thrown this around as an idea for, it was right when the NFL draft came around. But who was it? It was Magnus who was making fun of the youth movement in TNA.
Yeah.
Which he did, but he also brought up a completely valid point that a lot of these people aren't that young. I mean, I even think he included himself in the group there. But I started just looking up a lot of the roster's age, and I didn't check for the Usos.
I used to have all the wrestlers' birth dates written down. I think I've sent that to you. But I haven't updated that in a long time, though.
It's one of those things that, you know, and we talked about it a while ago. I was just like, well, when's there going to be someone really young to come in? And Paige of course, shows up about a month after I say that. But that's still pretty rare. Like, I mean, she was the youngest by a pretty long shot. Because at least the other numbers that I have, Wyatt's the next youngest at 20. Emma's 25. And then Wyatt is the youngest male at 26.
Bray Wyatt's only 26?
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, he's got a lot of years left then. Nice.
Yeah, no, he's got a lot of mileage in him if he can keep it up.
How old's Harper then? You said it, I didn't hear you.
No, I didn't say it.
And a great ending sequence, too, with Harper counting to 10.
34.
Oh, wow. All right. Well, I guess in wrestling, it really depends on when you started. Like, how long have you been taking bumps, and what kind of bumps have you been taking? So the age thing you can get around, really.
Because that was kind of the interesting thing that I guess kind of got my wheels turned and kind of like the idea was, well, this whatever. it's a wonder why, like, some of the women, well, most of the women are younger.
Yeah.
But most of the men are older, and it's just one of those things. It's just like, you know, is it because all the guys try to get into a sport ahead of time and wrestling's a fallback? You know, yeah. But I guess guys like Punk and Daniel Bryan have been around, and they spent their youth in Ring of Honor or elsewhere around the world.
Right. Well, they started young, too, so they seemingly have been around for a long time. I mean, they have been around for a long time, but it's only because they started young.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're 33. Well, what was... because I had him under Brian's 32. So, yeah, I mean, if he started 10 years ago in ROH, he was 22. So, I mean, he did start young. But I guess it's a little surprising to me that they don't start to peak until a little bit later. Cesaro's 33. You know, it's kind of later than the normal, you know, for athletes, you want it to be like that 27 to 32 range is mm-hmm. kind of like the ideal sports age. So it's kind of surprising to me that a lot of times the wrestlers are older than that.
Yeah.
When they get to that point.
Yeah. Well, it's like especially like when we were young, we just never realized how old some of the guys were. Like Nikolai Volkov, Iron Sheik, those kind of guys. You didn't realize how old they already were.
Oh. And
you're watching too. Like now, you know, you're more aware. The information is obviously more readily available. So,
right.
Yeah. I don't know. They've gotten away from a lot of the neck injury stuff. That's why it was weird with Daniel Bryan. But it goes to your point about, you know, the wrestling with ROH, the wrestling in these other places, and especially the old ROH matches. I honestly haven't watched too much of them in recent months.
So
I don't know if the style's toned down or not, but some of those Daniel, you know, Bryan Danielson, CM Punk, Samoa Joe, those matches, those were some vicious matches to watch. The suplexes, the kicks, all that stuff. So when Daniel Bryan came down with a neck injury, I can't say I was all that surprised by it, regardless of his age, you know?
Well, and he does the because who did I see one of the was it Bob Holly telling him not to do the top rope headbutt and the missile drop kick? I was just like,
I've always wondered about that one where he does the drop kick and comes down on his back off the top rope. That doesn't look. And yes, they're professionals, but it just doesn't look safe. Like, you're springing yourself forward and like laying out like that. It looks terrible. But
it makes more sense than the sideways, because I'm like, okay, you're at least flat backing everything. But it still seems odd because the minority of wrestlers do it that way. So, but it does seem like more of them recently have started to do it that way, because I feel like Brian isn't the only one, but I'm also not coming up with an example off the top of my head.
No, well, you got, I don't know. Top rope moves, it's kind of a problem with wrestling now. Like, top rope moves used to be spectacular. And I'm not saying that they're not special, but remember Randy Savage's elbow. He who shall not be named's top rope headbutt. Like, that sort of stuff was, I mean, you know, CM Punk tried bringing it back, but he was just emulating Randy Savage. You know, he started doing that elbow when the day Randy Savage died, which, by the way, right, is today while we're recording. 3 years ago today, Randy Savage died.
Wow.
Yeah, so there's
that. Boy, just all kinds of factoids on this date.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wait, we haven't even gotten to the facts part of the show yet. We are going to talk WWE financials, or at least the comment section on Yahoo. Yeah, but no, it's like if you're risking that big of a, like, you know, a body injury or long-term wear on yourself, you'd want the move to be showcased, you know?
Oh.
And I guess
right.
JBL kind of does it with Daniel Bryan's flying headbutt, because he always said, do you believe a goat can fly or something like that?
Uh-huh.
But like Fandango, they do the one move I don't understand why people do it is the top rope leg drop that Fandango does. And like Brian Christopher did it before him. That looks ridiculously painful. Because you're coming down on your butt and it just jams everything together. That, ugh.
Yeah, no. I don't feel like there's a more uncomfortable move to be had than that one.
Yeah, I mean, I've never trained as a wrestler, so maybe that's like the easiest one. I don't know. I just can't see how that's it's not just destroying your spine slowly but surely.
Right.
Especially if you, I don't know. I don't know what would be worse. If you miss it, I guess you just come down flat. It's not as bad. But if you connect, you've got to bend your legs and contort yourself a little bit.
Yeah, no, that's kind of the other funny thing, is that just to make sure that you're not hitting the other guy, to me, it's one of those moves that you can really see the opening between the person doing the move and the person receiving the move. Yeah.
It's a move that requires baggy pants, and I think that's why Brian Christopher's, or what was his name, Grandmaster Sexay?
Yeah.
Right? I think that's
pop culture-y thing, I guess, with Total Divas. So, you know, they're trying to, they're doing a smart job of trying to branch out and be more, you know, out in the media itself. And I don't think they have that without doing PG.
No. You get, if with the TV-14 and the edgier stuff, you're going to get on different shows. There is an argument to be made for the edgier stuff. But then when does edgy stop? Could you imagine if they were still doing the Attitude stuff now? Do you know how old that would be? Like, the constant sexual jokes and all that stuff?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'd be tired of it. I'd be way more tired of what's happening right now.
Yeah. I mean, half the wrestlers would be hitting near death, too, with the work rate they were going with, the bumps and all that stuff. No, but I found the comment I've been looking for a while. I don't know if you saw me celebrating over here.
No, I wasn't.
Yeah.
But what? Oh. I just did want to address one other part in this, in that it's cool for the kids and all, but they don't pay the bills. No, they don't. They bring mom and dad, or at least mom, or at least dad, and they get mom and dad, or either of them separately, to pay for a shit ton of t-shirts.
Yes, or hats.
And foam fingers and everything. So I'm just going to say that they are more apt to buy that kind of thing. than is your average adult going there.
Yeah. I mean, let's put it in just...
So I would think that it'd be a losing prospect if you try to alienate children more.
Yeah. And if you really put it in the proper context, adults do buy action figures, all right? You know, whether they open them up or not, whatever. But kids will buy the action figures. They'll buy the Slam City action figures. They'll buy the shitty, cheap plastic belts. Or you know, I'm sorry, what you said, they'll make the parents buy it for them. They'll buy the T-shirts. They'll buy the shitty T-shirts that are made specifically for kids. Whereas the older audience doesn't have this sort of thing. I mean, we're going to make no one drinks beer. Whatever. John Cena beer koozies that say never give up. Which actually might not be a bad idea, really, but, you know, the merchandise for the older set only goes so far, where the merchandise for the younger set is almost endless. I know
we
mentioned...
And the other thing about the kids is that you give them a year or two, and they need a new shirt.
Right. Oh, perfect.
An adult,
yeah.
For the most part... You're the size that you are unless you decide to eat yourself to another size.
Hey.
And then you're going to have to rebuy stuff, or if you decide to slim down to another size, you know. But, you know, even then you kind of have a range that you can fall within and still wear one size.
Right. And again,
so it's just the kids are going to spend more money.
Yep.
Or have their parents spend more money.
And WWE also has the unenviable position of, with an older audience, you're competing against video games that cost $60 a pop now, you know, other forms of entertainment that, yes, it's a large purchase price to begin with, but they have something tangible in their hands. Where if you buy a ticket for wrestling, you go for that 3 hours. And I know that they try and pump it up to where they say it's an entertainment experience like no other. After WrestleMania 30, well, they've kind of got a point, but not every event is WrestleMania, period. Not even 30, you know?
Right.
And a lot of the times it sounds like speak, but it's an actual truth, and it has to be has to get through to the wrestlers in performance where... You know, they make a living off of selling a ticket, get you interested so they can sell you a T-shirt, a wristband, a hat, a necklace that spins. There's $150 right there. Where an adult, no adult, really, I mean, I guess, speaking of John Cena merchandise here, should be buying a hat, a shirt, a wristband, a necklace, you know. Like, I've got two CM Punk shirts. I think those are the last wrestling shirts I've bought. And maybe part of that's merchandise. You know, I don't really care for the merchandise. But even this, PG program is fine. It's what you do with it.
Right.
So,
Yep. So, I'm sorry. I brought that up, and you had finally found your comment. You were having your moment of total victory at Mount Midoriyama.
Yeah, so more and more of these ridiculously fun comments. Someone named Douglas says, hang on a second, let me get some water here.
Need to wet the whistle before you
lie. It's not very long, but it's still fun. Oh, and there's an expanded reply, so hopefully that's just as good. Okay. Okay, of course, Yahoo's having problems. All right. Douglas says, as much as I love professional wrestling, there was no way in hell that I was going to pay $9.99 a month to watch the WWE Network. Why would I pay more money to watch wrestling when you have to have cable/satellite to watch it already? With that said, apparently the Y button doesn't work. Ooh, have to have cable satellite to watch TNA Wrestling 2. The WWE Network should have never been. It was pure greed on Vince's part, and I'm glad it blew up in his face. It is mind-boggling how dumb people are. Yes, you have to have cable. If you are subscribing to cable or satellite just or the internet just to watch WWE, you've got a fucking problem. You're not smart because there are 200 other stations you can be watching to get more bang for your buck for your cable satellite dollar. You know, we were making fun of people for downloading the app for the WWE Network and them explaining how to use it and them consistently telling you what's on the WWE Network. You remember those shows?
Yeah. No,
this motherfucker didn't pay attention. This idiot didn't figure out, wait a minute, the WWE Network has their entire vault? I get all the pay-per-views that I may be buying per month on a per-month basis? This moron yeah. still spending $55 a pop buying the pay-per-views when they could simply spend $10 a month and get all that stuff. And yes, Yahoo, thank you for starting a video I didn't ask for.
Yeah, well, and that's exactly the point. Like, it's like, dude, you didn't realize that you get the pay-per-views? I mean, that's specifically why I said I got it. It's going to be cheaper to pay for a year of that than it is to order WrestleMania and the Royal Rumble, which I ended up having to do this year. But, you know, it's cheaper than those two pay-per-views combined. And I get those almost every year.
Yep.
So, you know, I'm saving money. Like, I'm already ahead. So, and I've typically bought Elimination Chamber, too, the last couple of years, just to make sure that I have the whole arc going into WrestleMania so that I've seen all the pay-per-views in the meantime.
Yeah.
So, I mean, really, there's three pay-per-views. So, I mean, there's at least $165?
Yeah.
And WrestleMania is usually an extra $10, so it's probably, you know, $175.
Yep.
Really? Instead, I'm paying $120. It's just like, okay, I just saved $55.
Yeah, you get $120. You get every pay-per-view. And this isn't an ad for it. These are just facts. And then it's giving you it's giving you new content. And then you also get to catch up on all that stuff. And also, it's giving away the Blu-ray stuff, too. I mean, a new Blu-ray comes out, and it's available already.
Oh.
So, It's dumb shit like that where someone thinks they're smart and post something like that. Well, I'm glad it blew up in his face. Why would you want something you enjoy to have it blow up in the people that provide you this entertainment to where if it gets so bad that they could actually pull the plug on it? Obviously, that's not going to happen in this case.
Right.
You know, I'm just confused by people to where – you know, McMahon lost $350 million, and people are like, oh, boy, he lost a lot of money. Yeah, well, why are you happy about that?
Well,
you know,
and I mean, it's the company that lost the money.
Well, no, I guess his own personal finance, yes, he lost $350 million.
Oh, okay, that was actually his own personal.
Yeah, supposedly.
Okay.
So, but no, I don't understand this, like, fans of WWE rooting against the company. Nothing changes. Nothing good comes out of a company going out of business. You lose the provider of said entertainment that way.
Yeah, the loser in the wrestling business when WWE goes out of business, everybody else, because then Ring of Honor is top dog.
Like, no, man, I'll watch TNA. No, you won't, because that company doesn't seem like that's going to be around much longer either. So, and that's not like a death knell, but it's just all their business decisions don't seem to be in any way productive for them.
No, not even a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know.
So,
I don't know.
I completely agree with you. I don't understand why, like, I might not like some of his booking decisions or his sense of humor, but I don't want the WWE to go under. Like, as much as it's kind of a pain in the ass sometimes, yeah. And I don't quite understand the procedures of it.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean,
For the most part, I mean, how much have I talked? You know, well, we talked right at the beginning about Luke Harper, and I mean, I've been talking for months now about how I haven't enjoyed the wrestling this much in a really long time. You know, probably since the Attitude Era. So, you know, it's taken them like 12 years or something to get back to something that I really, really love. It's just like, why would I want that to go under right now?
Yeah. Yeah, if you're that unhappy with the way things are going, you can simply stop watching and check back in. That, you know, viewership dropping, numbers dropping will cause a change. But, I mean, right now, yes, WWE is going through one of those fits where they lost some money. But I have to be very careful in saying it like this. It's not a big deal. They've been hovering around that the price point they're at. So, you know, it just... I don't see the concern. It sucks. Yes, it's not good business right now. Yes, but you know what? In a year from now, we're not going to be talking about it. Hell, in a month or two from now, not going to be talking about it.
No. Yeah. No. It's temporary bad news. Like, I'm sure it'll get better, and they'll figure something out about the network and try and get things reorganized. I'm sure they'll figure something out.
Yeah, and with the influx of new talent. Which, you know, some will be hit and miss. There's going to be new people, new bigger avenues of revenue for merchandise to sell, action figures to sell. You know, it's keep creating. It's really on creative to give a product that people will get behind and that they will raise fans. And, you know, at the height, Raw was doing, 5 and 6 shares? And Nitro was doing 3 and 4 shares. It's like, where did all those people go? And I know we talked about that before, and I think we both agree, they went to MMA or just went to other sports just because they didn't like where it went. So,
yep.
Yeah.
It happens.
Yeah.
And they'll probably get when this generation of kids moves into their next phase, they'll probably have another surge in ratings.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
well, but if you're still averaging 5 million a week, that's not so bad. That's just Raw.
Oh yeah, no, they could be doing worse for themselves.
Yeah,
they'll keep themselves on TV with a 5 rating.
Right. So, but anyways, yeah.
Yeah, no, we only had one topic, and I don't think we can really get into it very long, considering the amount of time the show has run already.
I forgot what it was.
How dare you? I watched clips upon clips of Roadhouse this afternoon.
Oh, I know. Oh, I forgot. Yeah. Just...
That's okay. I like the beginning conversation anyway, because I honestly haven't actually seen Roadhouse in a very long time, and I just got to see a bunch of the ridiculous slug lines today on YouTube.
The name's Dalton. Or I fucked it up. Oh, well. Who cares? Jeff Healey Band.
I did love that Pain Don't Hurt.
Yeah. Yes, that's why it's called Pain, actually. That's what happens. Yeah. What a tremendous... It really does teeter... Well, no, it is an absurd movie. That the bad guy just kills randomly.
I loved the whole... I was watching him instruct all the bouncers at the bar, and I'm like, oh my lord, why do they have an army of bouncers? Like, where is this?
Yeah. And Terry Funk's one of them. I remember as a kid, I was like, that's Terry Funk. Why is he in this? And then Terry Funk was also a bodyguard in the arm wrestling movie, Over the Top.
Oh, Yeah.
Yeah, he was one of the bodyguards.
I never saw that one.
Oh, trash. That is a hard one to get through. Very hard to get through. So.
Oh, I will take that under advisement if I ever have a spare, like, 2 hours or whatever that takes to watch that piece of trash.
Honestly, it's not. It's really not that worth it. It's pretty fucking bad. It was one of those Stallone, like, I'm going to make whatever I can possibly think of interesting movies. So,
right.
But, well, yeah, we meant to talk about Roadhouse because it is the 25th anniversary of that. That's crazy, too. Of one of the, probably one of the greatest guy movies ever made.
It's got to be in that pantheon of good, bad, greatest good, bad movies of all time.
Yeah. So,
you know, it's just everyone loves it, but you do understand it's completely terrible and contradictory and out of control.
Really, as a kid when we were watching it, didn't you want to go to a bar where some hot-ass blonde would just get on stage and start stripping? In, like, broad day, like, not broad daylight, but, like, a well-lit place without, like, awful club music and... I was like, this... Is that how it gets when we're older? This is going to be amazing. I can't wait for stuff
or,
like that.
You get a guy to offer you to touch his wife's titties for $20.
Yeah. God damn, I forgot about that part. Yeah.
Yeah. I ain't got $20. Yeah, no, trust me. It's like, oh my gosh.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Do you get the rail chicks in the back room of the place? And I'm like, oh, okay. But yeah.
Well, that one I don't think is all that far from.
No,
the
I know
truth.
That's why I just kind of stopped. but yeah, man, that it just the cops don't give a shit if they walk in and there's a dead body because there were no guns around. I'm not gonna question anyone. It's cool. The guy gets his throat ripped out. Well, you know, they just run over an entire car lot with a monster truck. I mean, it's just so fucking great. Just a great, great movie. And this was after Dirty Dancing, too. Can you imagine the shock on people's faces seeing that? At least I believe it was.
Yeah, no, it was after Dirty Dancing. Because it said, in one of the previews, it said something like that. Because I watched a trailer for it, too, which I was about in hysterics.
I've never seen a trailer for it, actually. Really?
Yeah, there's the trailer on YouTube.
I'm sure it's got that one guy, the guy that always talks like this. And it just sucks he's dead.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll save that for another break. But yeah, he made some classic-ass movies. And Red Dawn was in 84. 87, Dirty... Yeah, that was right, because when Dirty Dancing came out, I was like, that's the guy from Red Dawn. What's he doing in a dancing movie? Yeah, Roadhouse was 89. Steel Dawn. I forgot about that movie. Oh my god. Alright, we gotta get out of here. Well, I could do this all night, so maybe I'll save it for the new show. We talk about stuff. We actually came up with a name. The new movie pop culture podcast.
I thought it was we watch stuff.
Yeah, isn't that what I said?
You said we talk about stuff.
Yeah, we watch stuff too. We do the same thing. Yeah. So
we watch
yeah.
talk.
But yeah, so check out the OPA show. We're going to actually try and get a schedule down for this. And all of your site info and wrestling talk will be on this one. We watch stuff is going to be me and Shahid. Whenever one of us isn't available, someone can be a guest star. We've got the OPA show with Kevin and Ken. And another show maybe coming down the road again that... Well, hasn't been around for a while, so we'll see how this plays out. So, until then, I'm going to get out of here. Stunt Granite and everything, Granny Maze, DeFrango 11, Stunt Dusty, I don't know Shahid, Eric does Stunt Granny, stuntgranny@gmail.com. There you go. Bye, guys.
And grandkids, you, I'm going to go grab a Super Time beer, and you have a good night. I'm out. Yeah. Yeah.